Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Today's passage tells a tale of two men. John, the baptizer, died for righteousness' sake. King Herod was an immoral man, and he had John killed for speaking out against his sins. In eternity, John will receive a crown of life, but Herod will spend eternity in the lake of fire, separated from God's goodness. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 6 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study of verses 14 through 29.
Mark 6, verses 14 through 29. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, "It is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead." For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. And John had said unto Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee, and when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, "Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee." And he sware unto her, "Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto half of my kingdom." And she went forth and said unto her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." Nice gal. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will give thee by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist." And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in the tomb. The Greek Orthodox tradition, this passage is read on August 29th on what is known as the Feast of the Beheading of John the Baptist. The disciples were making their circuit around the country. They're proclaiming everywhere the glories of their great master. God is doing miracles in and through their hands. And this news of Jesus now gets back to King Herod. Luke 9:9 said, "But who is this of whom I hear such things?" And he desired to see him. Now, the name Herod is actually a title, like our title of president. The Herod that is in our text is not his father, the ruthless Herod the Great, another humble guy, who in his desperation for power had every one of his children killed. Herod the Great was the one who, when he saw that he was mocked by the wise men, made sure that all of the infants 2 years and under were killed. This is Herod Antipas. He is one of the surviving sons who controlled about a fourth of his father's kingdom after his death. Now, notice that there was a lot of wonder who Jesus was. And there were three common thoughts. that he was either John the Baptist who was risen from the dead, or Elijah, or a prophet. In fact, that was the same statement that Peter made when Jesus asked him, "Whom do men say that I am?" He said, "Well, they say that you're John the Baptist, you're Elijah, or you're the prophet." And then Peter gave the correct answer, not revealed by flesh and blood, but by the Spirit of God. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." It says in verse 16, when Herod heard of Jesus, whom he did not know, who he assumed was John who he beheaded, he said, "He's risen from the dead." John the Baptist has been absent from the narrative in Mark since chapter 2. But what follows here is the account of what happens to those who pay the ultimate price for following Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Those who suffer for the sake of righteousness will be given the martyr's crown of life." I want you to notice, beloved, that Herod is troubled by a guilty conscience. He's fully convinced that the one who is doing these miraculous works are none other than John the Baptist, whom he had beheaded. It has been said, quote, "When a man's sins haunt him, he has a host of ghosts which make him afraid, and well they may," end of quote. But this is nothing new under the sun. Remember Joseph's brethren. They couldn't forget the sins that they had committed against their brother. Many years after the memory of their cruel and unjust treatment of him, their guilt was still fresh. Here they are, many years later, and in Genesis chapter 15, verse 15, we read, "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him.'" In other words, he's going to get us now. What we did to him was not right. Herod had a guilty conscience. Historians tell us that Herod was haunted all the days of his life by what he had done to John the Baptist. You know, the beautiful thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we've all done things that have been despicable. You can't undo them. Things that we are ashamed of. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And it wipes away not only the debt of sin, but the guilt. Because he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so Herod now sends forth to lay hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." And John now is taking the word of God from Leviticus chapter 18, verse 16, and Leviticus chapter 20, verse 21, and sharing this with a pagan king. Now, talk about a dysfunctional family. The Herod family was dysfunctional on steroids. Listen to this. Herod had first married a daughter of the Arabian king, Aretas IV. Then he became enamored with his half-niece, Herodias, who was the daughter of his half-brother, Aristobulus, who was married to Herod's half-brother, Philip, who was her half-uncle. That's what the Jewish historian Josephus tells us. And so Herod divorced his Arabian wife in order to marry Herodias, who had divorced Philip, and John is telling him, "This is not lawful." Even though Herod was not a Jew, John did not hesitate to tell him that he was living in violation of the moral law of God. And John confronted Herod about this, and Herod had him put into prison. And the prison was the Macarius prison, a fortress and palace on the northeastern shore of the Dead Sea. It's interesting. Mark gives us the moral religious reason for the imprisonment and execution of John the Baptist. But the Jewish historian Josephus tells us that he had him imprisoned because he feared that there was going to be a political uprising by this man. And so here's John. He's in prison. Herodias has a quarrel against him. She's infuriated with him. She wants him out of the picture. She's not satisfied with him being in jail. She wants him dead. And then there's Herod. Herod feared John. He knew that he was a just man, a holy man, and he observed him, and he heard him gladly. He enjoyed, interestingly enough, hearing John teach, hearing what John had to say. Herod may have been opposed to the preaching of John, but there was some part of it that he enjoyed hearing, and he said he's of such a character that he's really not worthy of execution. The Orthodox Study Bible said this: Herod, with his wealth and soldiers, feared John, a man who lived in poverty and was clothed in camel's hair. That is a testimony both to the power of personal holiness and integrity, and also to the people's perception of John, for they held him in highest esteem. What do you think John would have spoken to Herod about? You think he just went in there and rebuked him? You think he had the ministry of rebuke? What was John's message? The message John was given was not just to Herod, was to everyone. Remember, repent and believe the gospel. The king has arrived. Remember how John greeted the Sadducees and the Pharisees that came to watch him? He gave them such a warm welcome. He said, "Oh, you brood of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Don't think because you are of Abraham's seed that you are guaranteed eternal life." And so what John was saying was not just singularly addressed to Herod. That was his message. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare a highway for our God. The king is here. The king is coming. Prepare the way for him. Which, by the way, is probably the message that needs to be preached today. Herod has what you and I would call this gut feeling. There's something that this man says is true and resonates with me. But he's torn. He's hesitated. He's wavered. Satan has stolen the seed of the truth that was planted, because it was not planted in a heart that was prepared to repent and believe the gospel. When you think of Herod and Herodias, their evil character and lawless deeds remind us of that wicked couple in the Old Testament, Ahab and Jezebel. And so Herodias has this plan. And on a convenient day, it says in verse 21, Herod has a birthday party, and he invites his lords, his captains, and his chief estates. Now, when they celebrated a birthday party, the wine was flowing freely. And here they are, no doubt intoxicated, no doubt not thinking clearly or soundly. It's a party. A birthday party. He invites his lords and captains and chief estates, military commanders, leading men of Galilee. And the daughter of the said Herodias came in. We know that her name is Salome. And danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him. And that's when the king said, "What do you want? Ask whatever you want. I'll give it to you." The KJV commentary says, "Children naturally look to their parents for guidance, but this unfortunate girl had a mother who was not only ungodly herself, but who did not hesitate to involve her daughter in her depraved plan." The way this woman is acting is inappropriate. The Jews would not have permitted a woman to dance before a group of men. And most Gentile mothers would have forbidden a daughter to do what Herodias is doing. But Herodias has anger in her heart. She has bitterness in her heart. She has resentment in her heart. And when a person has anger or bitterness and resentment in their heart, if it's not dealt with at the cross, eventually it's going to come out in one way or another. "What do you want?" the king said to her. "I will give it to you, up to half of my kingdom." That's the same promise the king Ahasuerus made, remember, to Esther in the book of Esther. "What do you want? I'll give it to you." And so she goes in verse 24 and asks her mother. And her mother says, "Ask for the head of John the Baptist." Now, Herodias has to make a choice here too, doesn't she? She's got to say, no, that is off the charts. And so now Herodias, or Salome, had to make a choice there. I'm not going to go through with this. You see, you and I are always confronted with making choices for righteousness or unrighteousness, are we not? And so now the mother, very powerful. This Herodias was a powerful woman. She had the Jezebel spirit that is alive and well on planet Earth today flowing through her. And she now has one focus: kill John. How dare he tell me how to live? Wow. Interesting. And so when she came in and asked for the head of John the Baptist on a plate or a charger, it says in verse 26, that the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. This is his pride. His reputation, his authority were now at stake. He could. This wasn't like the Medes and the Persians, that when you made an oath, it could not be altered. He was in a position where he could have said, "No, I say no. Herodias, you are out of line." You see, but he wasn't sorrowful in a godly way. He was sorry in an ungodly way. It's a sorrow that is described or contrasted in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. There's two kinds of sorrow. There's godly sorrow that worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but there's the sorrow of the world that worketh death. D.A. Carson writes, quote, "Herod, trapped in his own pretensions, chooses the wish of his dancing stepdaughter at the behest of his vindictive wife over a holy prophet who announced God's coming." The Bible Knowledge Commentary says, "Herod's conflict between his passion for Herodias and his respect for John showed his vacillating moral weakness." In other words, he would change his tune depending on who he was around. William Barclay tells us about godly sorrow. "A godly sorrow produces a true repentance, and a true repentance is one that demonstrates its sorrow by its deeds. The Corinthians proved their repentance by doing everything they could to mend the wretched situation that their thoughtless conduct had produced. Now they hated the sin they had committed, and even hated themselves for committing it. And they would labor to atone for it." Herod does not have godly sorrow. He's trapped. Who is he going to please? God or men? And he buckles under the pressure. And he goes along with the wish of Salome. And immediately in verse 27, the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Instead of listening to his conscience, Herod carried out the execution because he was afraid of what his friends might think and say. I wonder how many souls are suffering eternal torment right now because in spite of their conviction of the truth about Jesus, they refuse to repent and trust Jesus Christ as Savior because of family pressure or peer pressure. Beloved, when you and I die, no one is going to stand there with us. Remember that. It's you and your soul and no one else. It tells us in the Gospel of Matthew that after John was martyred, they came and they told Jesus. Do you think that Jesus was a man of compassion? This is his cousin. Don't forget, he's not only a prophet of God, this is his cousin. 6 months older than him. No doubt there was a kindred spirit, there was a love that was there. And now he hears John has been martyred. Question, why didn't he go do something about it? Did he know? All speculation. I've wondered when I was a young Christian, well, Lord, why didn't you do something? Well, when you read Matthew's account, I believe that there's tucked away an answer. Because when he went out, when he heard the news, he went out, he preached the gospel, he cast out demons, he healed the sick, and it's as if he says to Satan, there. The things that you have done to destroy men's souls, I've come to deliver them. John's short-lived life of ministry teaches us that the ways of God are often very, very unsearchable. There's really no rhyme nor reason to some of the stories that you read in the scripture, right? Isn't that true? There's a lot of mystery. James is beheaded in a prison. Peter is released. What's that all about? There's so many questions that we have as believers, but there's things that are unquestionable. We can absolutely be sure of one thing. God keeps his promises. And he says that on that final day, he will reward every one of his servants for whatever they have endured or lost in this life for his name's sake. I think of that young man. I think he was 27 years old who went to that forbidden island where the Sentinelese tribes, and he had a heart to go preach the gospel. He paid the price. His parents wrote a letter saying, we forgive them. Don't arrest those that he coerced into bringing them to the island. They did something that was illegal. That man's in glory right now. One dear saint was asked, how could she remain so joyful in serving Christ in spite of all of the pain and all of the sorrow and all of the persecution and all of the opposition that she had received since coming to Christ because of her unwavering devotion to him? You know what her answer was? There is nothing that I am suffering in this present life for his name's sake that the resurrection from the dead will not fix forever. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his
holy, his wonderful name. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.